With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. In their biggest ruling on homelessness in decades, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled cities can prohibit homeless people from using pillows, blankets, or cardboard boxes for protection while sleeping outside within city limits. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed talked to local homeless shelter directors about their thoughts on the decision and its potential impacts.
Homelessness is a pervasive issue in the Northwoods. Williams House of Hope is a new organization based in Anago that's opening a physical shelter in mid-October. Since forming in March, they've already helped over 94 individuals in Langlade County alone. Local advocates emphasize that homelessness doesn't always look like living in a tent. Many times, people are technically homeless, but able to stay off the streets by couch surfing, spending a week with family, then a week with friends, for example. Nicole Barron, president of Williams House of Hope, says she believes that the Supreme Court's decision is flawed.
It doesn't address the root causes, so homelessness itself stems from complex issues like lack of affordable housing, mental health, joblessness, and then if someone can't afford housing, and then you add fines and citations, how is that going to solve the problem? It's just going to push them further, into debt, and it's not setting them up for success.
She said that criminalizing sleeping outdoors penalizes people for their circumstances, not their choices, and that it's inhumane. Both Barron and the executive director of the Northwoods Alliance for Temporary Housing, Abby Dahl-Lakowski, are concerned that the change will overburden a court and criminal justice system that's already bogged down.
I think in some respect, the recent ruling was trying to recognize what that meant for that community at large and their individual local government and state government.
However, she said that the decision will apply negative consequences to being homeless without solving bigger systemic root causes of the issue. Dahl-Lakowski says that around half of the people she works with lost their housing arrangement because rent or other expenses went up, but their income didn't. At Williams House of Hope, Barron sees much the same.
We need to invest in creating more affordable housing units to give people a pathway out of homelessness. We need those support services, so we need to expand access to mental health care, addiction treatment, job training, and addressing those underlying causes.
She says that she sees it as a setback, but one that doesn't have to be the end all, and that we can invest in different solutions that lead to lasting change. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
A fraught and violent history for centuries disrupted indigenous people's lives in the upper Midwest, barring them from traditional food gathering practices like spearfishing, hunting, and harvesting wild rice. Tribal members say maintaining their treaty rights to hunt and fish on ancestral lands and teaching Ojibwe language and activities like spearfishing to the younger generation are a start at making that history right. Ojibwe and other indigenous people are fighting to keep the way of life vibrant in the face of new threats like climate change and lakeshore development. Patty Lowe is a retired journalism professor who has written several books on the history of tribes and is a citizen of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Lowe believes remembering history is important because solutions to current environmental problems can be found in the wisdom of the past and embedded in the ecological and spiritual knowledge that has been passed down to many indigenous people today. A fire struck the Oneida County Solid Waste Transfer Station on Highway K west of Rhinelander early yesterday morning. The transfer station wasn't able to share the extent of the damage. The facility closed for the day. It reopened today, but with limited services. They won't accept regular trash, but will take public recycling and select items like tires, electronics, appliances, clean demolition material, and metal. If you have a question about your items, call the facility before driving over. WXPR will let you know when trash disposal resumes. 911 dispatchers help to keep you connected to life-saving aid, but finding enough people to fill those critical positions has been a challenge. Staff members at the Langlade County Dispatch Center have fallen into the single digits, and leaders have had to get creative to fill the gaps. Langlade County Administrator Jason Hilger says that includes borrowing dispatchers from other counties.
Marathon County started by helping fill seats here for night dispatch, and currently now they're able to connect remotely, and they've been helping when needed from Marathon County.
The issue Langlade County is facing is that people they hire often don't stay due to the long hours and stressful situations. He says it's something many counties across the state are seeing. Ilger says Langlade County is working on several solutions to keep dispatchers, including training multiple new people at a time and offering financial incentives for joining.
Temporarily, we have offered a $5,000 recruitment bonus, a $5,000 retention bonus, and we offer a $5 per hour overtime stipend, similar to what Marathon County has done.
Another possible solution would be having the state look into joint dispatch centers, where two counties pool their resources to serve each other. A similar move was approved for Ashland and Bayfield counties in 2023. The story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Hurley police say a string of break-ins has been solved. Starting at the end of June, Hurley police started receiving calls regarding break-ins to garages and vehicles, as well as thefts in the city of Hurley. A 16-year-old juvenile from Ironwood was taken into custody and transported to a juvenile facility. Three counts of burglary and four counts of theft were referred to the Iron County Department of Social Services. Additional charges are possible as the investigation is still underway. They say the juvenile has been involved in similar incidents in the past. After the much-talked-about presidential debate, pollsters have a fresh snapshot of how Wisconsin voters feel about the leading candidates. Older voters have also suggested they'll be even more active in having their say. Mike Moen reports.
The poll in this crucial battleground state, released by AARP, was conducted right after the first debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. In Wisconsin, Trump now leads Biden by 6 percentage points among voters 18 and up, according to this new survey. Pollster Bob Ward helped lead the effort, and he points out that a very high percentage of voters 50 and older are extremely motivated to cast their ballot, more so than younger populations.
There's typically a motivation gap, but not by the size that we're seeing now. And that's what makes this election really different and why it makes the voters 50 plus such a key deciding block in the electorate.
83% of voters 50 and older said a candidate's position on Social Security is very important in shaping their vote. Medicare was at 72%. I'm Mike Moen.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.